Good morning and happy holidays. I'm Christy Carlo, and here's your second cup for this morning. We'll start out with Grant Powell.
This is Grant Powell with Marion in a moment. For over half a century, there was in downtown Marion a variety store which many of you will affectionately recall, Snow's Racket Store. Racket store was a New England term which meant variety store. B.J. Snow, while working in Toledo for the W.L. Milner Company, heard that W.B. Devaney's store in Marion was for sale. Snow purchased the store and opened it as Snow's Racket Store on October 13, 1911, at 123 South Main Street. As might be expected of a variety store, one could buy a broad range of items there. Flower pots, garden seeds, candy, work gloves, screen wire, ladies' cotton hose, kerosene lamps, stovepipes, knitting and crocheting supplies, crocs, mouse traps, just to name a few items. Jelly beans and peanuts were sold for 10 cents a pound. Peanuts were brought by the barrel from a peanut butter factory in Columbus. When the peanut butter factory burned, the peanut delivery ended too. Little of the store's character changed for many years. The floor was bare wood. Heat came from a pot-bellied stove. The glass candy case and counters were part of the familiarity of the store. One of the few changes since 1911 was the replacement of the gas lights with electric illumination. Even after its closing, the store was still easily recognized by many who had shopped there. In 1962, after 51 years as owner and manager, B.J. Snow passed his legacy to his son, Ted, who continued the operation with his son, Tom. Eventually, the business closed, and the building was razed to make room for a parking lot. Another business had become only a memory. This has been Grant Powell with Marion in a Moment.
Fred Malone joins us from the Marion County Historical Society.
This is Fred Malone with the Marion County Historical Society. We're going to suspend from our normal activities today, since Christmas is coming up, and talk about the thorny origins of a Yuletide canoodling tradition. Now, for those of you that don't know, in Victorian times, canoodling was kissing. The Yuletide decorations are up, a trim tree, jolly stockings on the mantle, and wait, what's that white berried weed hanging from the ceiling? And why are people so amorous when they find themselves beneath it? Mistletoe, a parasitic plant, is actually accustomed to its long been associated with suspension. In nature, it grows only on other trees' branches, and it's been associated with mystical power. In Norse myth, the god Baldur is mistakenly killed by an arrow of mistletoe, after which the plant becomes synonymous with his grieving mother's undying love. While mistletoe's berries are poisonous, ancient Romans and Greeks used its leaves medicinally to treat cramps, epilepsy, and ulcers. And first century Celtic druids apparently used mistletoe to make a sacred fertility elixir. One historic use that presaged the plant's now dominant identity as an excuse for kissing. The first known reference to smooching under the plant dates to 1784 in an English poem in which three men kiss beneath the mistletoe the lips of a girl not yet turned 20. By then, any woman or girl who walked beneath the vegetated decor had to stop and wait to be kissed. One historian suggests the tradition was sought up by a particularly lusty and inventive British boy, whose tricks spread around the country and then the world. As the American author Wort Washington Irving wrote around 1820, each berry on a sprig of mistletoe had come to represent a kiss that a man was allowed to bestow upon a young woman who was standing underneath the plant. And when the berries were all plucked, the privilege ceased. As for the girl on the receiving end, the era's social customs dictated she never refuse a kiss under the mistletoe, lest she invite bad luck on the marriage market. Today's typical mistletoe decor differs from its 19th century predecessor in a few ways. Its berries aren't poisonous because the stuff's usually fake. Those false berries are often mistakenly red rather than white, and the sprigs, one hopes, no longer being used to force kisses upon unwilling recipients. Still, at a family gathering and in cheesy movies, mistletoe remains the catalyst of many an awkward or playful holiday peck. On behalf of the Marion County Historical Society staff and Board of Trustees and myself, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a happy and prosperous New Year. This has been Fred Malone for the Marion County Historical Society.
As we continue the second cup, Diane Watson joins us from the Marion Public Library.
Hello again, Diane Watson from the Marion Public Library here. It's that time of year with the 2025 just ahead of us. We have an opportunity for patrons 60 plus to take advantage of our digital literacy programs coming in January. You do need to sign up for this program, and they are limited to 10 classes, so you get that one-on-one guidance while walking through learning such things as setting up an email account, sending an email, retrieving an email, setting up a document, sending a document through email, and so much more. You get the picture. This program is done in cooperation with Marion County Council on Aging and is for those who are 60 years and older. You will be signed up for 4 consecutive classes when you do so. And additionally, there will be 4 additional offerings from the general programs of the library that will give you next step training. You can learn to shop for groceries online or just do some shopping online. And there are 2 other programs still in the works. So there'll be 4 total after the first 4 that you take. So if you need that extra guidance, this is the class for you. We have given this class before, so we are giving first preference to those who have not already taken the class. If you have already taken the class and you want a refresher, just put your name on the wait list and we will see if the class fills up. If it doesn't, we will pull from the wait list. First class will be Friday, January 10th. So get to the library and get signed up if you need to have this one-on-one experience with learning how to use your computer, our digital literacy for age 60 and plus. Or go to marionlibrary.org/digitalliteracy to learn more. I just wanted to let you know that Dolly is in the building. Yep, that wonderful lady who is part of Dolly Parton's Imagination Library delivering books to kids. We have a display in the library where you can get your selfie with a Dolly cutout. She is a tiny little thing, so come by and snap your selfie. And while you are there, check out our display she is standing by and pick up an envelope. An envelope, the envelopes are to make a donation to Marion's Dolly Parton Imagination Library Fund at Marion Community Foundation. Any amount, I say any amount, can be put into the envelopes. But we have envelopes for $5, $10, $20. And then there are a couple larger ones. One for $26 and one for $130. And you may ask, why those amounts? Well, $26 covers the cost of a full year of books delivered to a child in Marion County. That's 12 books. $130 covers the cost of 5 full years of books delivered to a child in Marion County. That's 60 books. Contrary to popular belief, Dolly does not pay for all of the books that are that Dolly Parton Imagination Library delivers. In Ohio's case, the state of Ohio pays for 50% of that cost, and your Marion Public Library has to come up with the other 50%. And Marion Public Library does that by soliciting groups and organizations and with this display for the general public to fulfill our 50%. So if you have or had a child in the program and you saw a child's eyes light up when they get a book in the mail, consider stopping by the library and stuffing an envelope. Write your name on the back, seal it, and hand it over to the front desk, and we'll make sure it gets to the right place. All checks should be made out to Marion Community Foundation because that is where the fund is housed and those invoices that pay for the books come into. It's a fantastic program for Marion County, and we want to continue it for years to come. So this is a great time of year to think about giving to the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. So stop by the library, pick up an envelope, and get your selfie with Dolly, because we all know that she's a wonderful lady. So remember, we are here to help you. Stop by the Marion Public Library. We are open Monday through Wednesday, 9 to 7, Thursday and Friday, 9 to 5, Saturday, 10 to 3. And marionlibrary.org is 24/7 to reserve books. So also check out our book market when you are here. They are open regular hours as well. You can find their hours on marionohbookmarks.org. We will see you at the library.
On the second cup is Nicole Workman.
Hello, listeners. I'm Nikki Workman with the Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities. Today, we are going to learn about a vital department at our organization called the Service and Support Administration Department. This department is the largest in our organization with 18 people who are the direct link and case managers for those served. What is a Service and Support Administrator? Or, as we call them, an SSA? The textbook role of a Service and Support Administrator is to link those with developmental disabilities to local resources while also being their guide for questions, support, and services. The SSA sits down with those served as well as their caregivers and providers to come up with a plan, which we refer to as an Individual Service Plan or an ISP. The plan establishes goals and dreams of those served, as well as what resources are necessary to help them achieve them. SSAs are here to respond to the needs of those receiving services through the Marion County Board of DD. They want those we serve to exceed goals, do more than ever thought possible, and live with independence. They are advocates, great listeners, and your go-to person for support. Often, SSAs are working with federal or Medicaid funding for services. In these instances, their time is tracked and reimbursable, which is a benefit to our community. MCBDD's SSAs, or case managers, currently serve over 400 people whom they interact with at least monthly to ensure they're receiving the support outlined in their plan. This equates to over 30 people per caseload. Close to 200 of them are school-age children. So even though our local schools often absorb the support they need through our school-age years, in some instances, MCBDD and the schools mutually support those being served throughout their school-age years. To learn more about MCBDD and the people we serve, follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram, or visit our website at www.marioncountydd.org.
The Second Cup continues in a moment with Tom Kennedy and the weather.
At Shirk's Homemade Candies, you could spread holiday cheer to your friends and family near and far with gourmet Christmas candies from our stellar holiday collection. How about chocolate-covered cherries, creams, fancy mixed nuts, caramels, just to name a few. Fine chocolates have been Shirk's business since the 1930s right here in Marion. They're available on the web at shirkscandies.com. Shirk's is located on Route 4 just before you get to Barks Road.
Andrew's Pastries is a Marion tradition. Pre-orders of your holiday sweets can be made today. They feature a wide variety of cookies, including their famous butter cookies. Don't forget their Buckeyes, cupcakes, cheesecakes, and their mouth-watering donuts. 740-387-3830. Open Monday through Saturday beginning at 6 a.m. More information on Facebook at andrewspastries.com. For all your holiday baking needs, be sure to think of the famous pink box and thank Andrew's Pastries in the Cervex Center.
In your second cup forecast, mostly cloudy skies today, an afternoon high of 27, but with winds up to 21 miles an hour at times today, the wind chill factor will be in the low teens. Overnight, temperatures dropping to 13. Sunday calls for sunny and a high of 27. On Monday, mostly cloudy and 38. There's your second cup forecast from WZMO.
Merry Christmas from WZMO.
Kirk Detweiler drops by today from the Palace Theater.
A very good morning and happy holidays to everyone. This is Kirk from the Palace Theater bringing you the latest on upcoming shows and events at the Palace Theater and the May Pavilion. You still have a few more chances to see the holiday classic movie, The Polar Express, Saturday and Sunday at 2 o'clock and 7:30 p.m. January, we're featuring two wonderful shows. On January 11th, we're featuring Howl at the Moon's Dueling Pianos in the May Pavilion. And January 25th, One Night in Memphis, a tribute to Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, and Jerry Lee Lewis. Also starting January 6th, for eight consecutive Monday nights, we'll be offering a series of line dance classes in the May Pavilion. Would you like to help preserve the historic Marion Palace Theater? Consider becoming a member. Membership is a fantastic way to ensure that this beloved landmark continues to entertain future generations. For details, visit our website or stop by the box office. For more information on upcoming events or to purchase tickets, give us a call at 740-383-2101, visit our website, marionpalace.org, or stop by the box office. We are open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday from 9 to 5. On behalf of all of us here on West Center Street, we do thank you for your support, and we look forward to welcoming you back to the historic Marion Palace Theater.
On the second cup this morning is Linda Balls from the Wyandotte County Humane Society.
Hello, everyone. This is Linda from Wyandotte County Humane Society and Equine Rescue and the Hope Low-Cost Spay-Neuter Clinic. It has suddenly become very cold, and any animals that are kept outside need adequate shelter from the wind and snow, as well as bedding to help keep them warm. For dogs, if they can't be kept inside, which is, of course, preferable, an insulated doghouse, preferably kept in a barn or a garage and filled with straw, will work. If there are two dogs, being able to curl up together preserves body heat even more. Make sure they're spayed or neutered if they're not the same. And most important, water should be checked and thawed several times during the day. Once it freezes, it is of no value to any animal. The bowl should be emptied and cleaned once a day, inside or outside, no matter what the weather. But that thawing of the frozen water, you know, they can't lick the ice and get anything from it. So, and they can't eat snow as well. Somehow you have to make sure they have thawed water, just like we want to go to the refrigerator or the sink or wherever and get a drink of water. They should be able to do that anytime as well. And the same goes for cats or other animals outside, horses, even livestock. Everything needs fresh, clean, unfrozen water all the time. There are heaters available out there that you can purchase to keep water thawed for bowls as well as troughs. So look into that if you have the opportunity. The Humane Society shelter continues to have lots of pets available to adopt. They're listed on petfinder.com, or you can go to our website, wyhumane.org, and there's a link on that to Petfinder as well. If you see someone you like, give us a call to set up an appointment to do a meet and greet. Some of those available right now include Courage, a white miniature poodle mix male. He's timid, but he's very sweet and would do well with another dog in the home. Duke is a black and white male Siberian husky. He's house trained and likes other dogs. Windy is a neutered male orange tiger cat who loves to play and is very affectionate. And Lindy, is a brown and white spayed female boxer mix, 1 to 2 years old, good with other dogs, and also nice with people. And as always, many other beautiful cats and kittens, pocket pets and rabbits and more. And if you don't see what you're looking for on Petfinder, call us in case we have something that's not posted yet. Adopted pets are spayed or neutered. They have their shots up to date. They're microchipped, and dogs are tested for heartworm and started on heartworm prevention. Dog adoptions are $75 and cats are $55, although I think after the first of the year, the prices might be going up $5. They haven't gone up for a long time, and $5, you know, is still pretty low. We still must limit intake of dogs and cats to just our county for now, as we continue to hire and train enough new staff, but we still receive lots of nice pets looking for new homes, and we take other animals other than dogs and cats from anywhere. We definitely never turn anything away from Wyandotte County, and we hope to be able to resume taking in everything from everywhere, as we always did in the past, as our newer staff gain experience and skills needed. And we're so sorry if you're from outside our county and have no one to help you with an unwanted pet, but we're working on it. Our hours to receive animals are from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. every day, 7 days a week. But please call first, and for emergencies only after those hours, but you must call before you come. If you're missing a pet, call us, and for the current week's Lost and Found, you can check our website at wyhumane.org. And it's also in the Upper Sandusky paper, the Daily Chief Union. The Hope Low-Cost Spay-Neuter Clinic continues to serve people from everywhere. Please call between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. during the day, Monday through Friday, to schedule an appointment. Our equine rescue never turns away any equine from anywhere. An appointment is needed to surrender or adopt. And again, available pets are pictured on the website as well as petfinder.com, but also on the Wyandotte County Equine Rescue Facebook page. Our bingo is every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, no matter what the weather, unless the roads are closed. This funds all of our services, and we invite you to come out and join us for fun and great prizes. We will be there all weekend, every weekend throughout the holidays. The main number for all three organizations or for questions is 419-294-4477. Stay safe, stay warm, and have a wonderful holiday.
Tom Kennedy now with the last word.
Jeff Ruth on Friday, took the Christmas lights tour with the Marion Area Transit. He reported a very good time and well worth doing. He'll have an interview with Julie Welch in Tuesday's Roundabout Marion. The Friday and Saturday after Christmas will be the final bus tour for the season. You will enjoy it. Some programming notes you might be interested in. On Christmas Eve at 8 p.m. on WZMO, we will present Orson Welles' classic radio show, The Plot to Overthrow Christmas. I will follow that with the reading of Clement Moore's 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, then about a half an hour of Christmas music. On Christmas Day, we'll present the Mormon Tabernacle Choir at noon. Please have a happy and safe Christmas. That's my last word, and I'm sticking to it.
There's your second cup. Thank you for listening.